Hey guys, welcome back to another podcast. I'm super excited for you to be here. I hope today's message encourages you, challenges you, and builds your faith. I really hope you enjoy today's message. I am going to be honest. I am not well rested at all. I'm literally being held together just by caffeine. But welcome back to another week. I'm really excited about the topic today and I'm ready to get into it. But we're just going to be reading from Matthew chapter 14, verses 10 through 14. And the story goes on and it said, he sent and had John beheaded in prison. It's talking about John the Baptist. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And the disciples came and took the body and buried it. And then they went and told Jesus. Then the story kind of shifts and it goes into the next story, which is feeding the 5,000. Also, a little side note, John the Baptist is Jesus's cousin. And the story goes on and it says, now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew there from the boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When they went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. I have been on this thought or this idea, so to say, about what it means to follow Jesus. Now, if you're new to this, then that's exciting, but if you've been around church for a while or Christianity for a while, that term is like elevator music and white noise. Even the term Christianity is like, I think I believe in a higher power. Then you start giving yourself a label like, I'm a Christian, and it's kind of hard to follow Jesus, and that kind of drives me nuts sometimes. It's like, if I'm going to follow Jesus, I want to follow him. Where is he going? Where am I going? Implicit within the belief systems of Christianity is a movement. His progress. It is not a stagnant, stationary belief system. Jesus intends for our lives to have progress and movement, but am I the only one that sometimes I just don't know what it looks like or what direction I'm supposed to travel? So I'm thinking, what is following Jesus? I know what following Jesus is. It is watching Jesus's every move, watching what Jesus does and then doing what he does, and before you know it, you'll be loving everybody. You won't even be aware of it because you just watched Jesus and you did what he did. You develop that, and in turn, someone is watching you. And Paul talked about this. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Following Jesus is just keeping your focus on Jesus. Now, I know what you're thinking. Now, Colby, what does that mean? How is that possible? Okay, I don't read my Bible because I need new message material. But when I go into this ancient book, guess who I'm looking for? Jesus. Because I want to know what he's doing. If he's loving other people no matter what, I want to be loving other people no matter what because I want to know what Jesus is doing. I am not interested in coming to this podcast each week just so we can get together and feel a collective goosebump. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, that was cool, right? It was fun. Great message. Like, am I the only one that's like that? This life is brief. This life is short and it's difficult and it's full of pain and mystery, and I don't have time to sit here on a microphone each week just to get a goosebump. I need real hope, real faith, real love, real people and family, and I actually want to know what it's all about. I want to talk about pain this morning, pain in life. How did Jesus handle pain? The Bible says that in one of his most painful moments, he withdrew. Well, that's interesting because you probably heard the stories about Jesus and the cross and how he faced it. He didn't withdraw, but instead he went right into it. But it says that here in this moment, because of the loss of his cousin John the Baptist, he withdrew. Mark records in Mark's gospel that him and his disciples withdrew to a desolate place. And by the time they get there, people with great needs turned up. They start putting demand on Jesus again. They need him. The Bible says that Jesus gets to his vacation spot, hurting, in pain, and in need of rest, and he sees a great multitude of broken, hurting people, and it says that he couldn't help himself. He was so moved with such profound empathy that while he was weak and struggling with loss and grief, he extended himself and began to minister to the crowd essentially all day. You ask yourself what it means to follow Jesus and what it means to follow him even into these moments. I want to make three observations as to how to follow Jesus. Number one, I think that we need to withdraw so that we don't give up. I don't know if anyone else is like me in this sense that I don't like letting people know that I'm stressed or that I'm physically or mentally in pain. Is anybody else like that? Like, I am very much the person that when I'm stressed and have a ton of things going on, I'm the guy that if somebody asks for something, I can't help myself but to help. That's just how I am. Or if I'm in pain or something happened to me, I'm the show must go on kind of guy. I'm not advocating that this is the best way because it's not. I honestly hate that I'm this way. I need time to pace myself and rest, but I choose not to, and I ultimately end up resenting what I'm doing instead of finding joy in it. The Bible talks and says that Jesus often withdrew away and had time by himself. Where are you regularly withdrawing to? I've learned, and I'm still learning, that in my own life, that if I'm going to follow Jesus and live a life on mission and make my life about others and serving people, if I don't develop a lifestyle of withdrawing, eventually, I'm just going to give up. Jesus needed margin. Jesus needed space. I don't know who I'm talking to today, and this is very direct for me, but I believe that there are people under the sound of my voice who are very close to giving up. And if you think that the answer to giving up is just to not give up, I'm going to give you a little bit of an insight on Jesus. And he often withdrew. But you will argue that Jesus withdrew and people stepped in and helped him, but you will later read on in the passage that he did get his time alone. Where are you withdrawing to? I want to argue and also make the point that there is a difference between escaping and withdrawing, creating boundaries in your life. As you follow Jesus, one of the operative words, not to him, but to the life around you, is no. You can't do everything, but you can do a few things. So as Jesus is there having his alone time, his disciples are there and they're probably quiet, in the most inconvenient, are you kidding me moment, we are hurting in a multitude of people showing up at our vacation spot and they want to have a meeting? Are you kidding? But the Bible says that he was moved to his innermost being at the hurting crowd. Number two, following Jesus means that oftentimes you are moved beyond your own personal pain. Every single person listening to this has had some sort of pain in their life. Right now, right where you are, there are people who have smiled, shook your hand, hugged your neck, and you don't even know about the horrible tragedy that just happened in their family. I want to challenge you today to allow Jesus to do to you what happened to him, that you would allow God to move you past your own pain. Some of you are waiting to follow Jesus into certain areas and spaces until your pain is healed. And I'm here to go on the record to say that your pain might be used as a platform by which you can help somebody else in their pain. We all have pain. Now, let's talk about that for a second. We all have pain, so if we wait until all the pain subsides, we might be waiting for a very long time. And I'll admit it to you guys, and this is really embarrassing, but 35% of the time, I don't really feel like doing this podcast. I wish that I could just listen to somebody else who would talk me up or pep me up and tell me a funny story. But one of the most significant moments for me is when I'm having one of those seasons and I'm going through one of those times, but the Holy Spirit and the grace of God and Jesus himself moves beyond my pain to minister to somebody else in their pain. And I think that there's times and seasons for you to focus on your pain and to grow and to get healed. But the truth about following Jesus is that it's incredibly inconvenient. It's slightly unpopular, and it's probably not what I want to hear or what you want to hear. But your pain might be the catalyst that God wants to use to minister to somebody else. And that is challenging. You came here today thinking that I'm going to be a preacher that helps you in your pain, right? That you came here thinking that Colby's got a good message today. He's going to tell me that I'm going to be all right, telling me that I'm going to make it, that God loves me, that I'm not as bad as I think I am, that I'm in the valley, but I'm not going to stay here, that even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, right? Like, you hope it's one of those messages today, but instead you come in here and he's like, hey, God wants to use your pain. Like, I don't want God to use my pain. I want him to get rid of it. But the story goes on and he expects the disciples to moments later minister to the crowd of people. And I think that the disciples are just as exhausted. I think that they're normal. They're like, okay, great talk, great meeting. Can we be done? Like, they're really hungry. Like, we just polled all the people. Yes, all 5,000 women and children. They all want to go. They're done. It's been good, Jesus. And Jesus goes, nah, let's feed them. And the disciples probably wanted to say no, but they're smarter than that. So they say, due to the lack of funds and resources, we can't. And then things go from bad to worse because Jesus goes, just give me what you got. Then he turns to the people and he says, everybody sit down. We are going to feed you. And the disciples go, what? No, we're not. We don't have any food. Why is he saying that? They are exhausted. How would you act if you were exhausted and on a Jesus tour that never ended? They got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Just think of the turmoil. It's funny, like in modern times, everything is supposed to make sense and everything is supposed to fit in the schedule, but you can't. Jesus is unpredictable. Like, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but the unfolding manifestation of his glory and who God is, these guys are exhausted. And all of a sudden, Jesus is getting his second wind. We were on our way to Palm Springs to get some R&R, and now we're here in the middle of exhaustion, and he throws another mass revival meeting. Now he's feeding people with food we don't even have. This is so frustrating. Some of you are going through a season of mystery and challenge, and you're wondering, God, are you there? And you think something is wrong. Can I suggest that something is so right? Number three, just give him what you got. Sometimes you'll be standing behind Jesus as he announces to everyone that we're going to feed them. And you're just like, no, we're not. We don't have any food. Like, I want to follow Jesus. Do you? Because you're going to have to give up some afternoons and evenings that don't make a lot of sense. And so here's this hurting, pained, exhausted group of disciples. And Jesus is like, stand by. And he turns around. And he's like, okay, guys, take a little bit. And the guys are like, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm sorry, Jesus, but what's the next step? And he just says, we're going to start dispensing it out to people. And the disciples are like, we are going down. And this is where it all unravels for Jesus. And as they start handing it out, and before they know it, a miracle is unraveling in the palm of their hands in this place of low, low, low strength. And this is my favorite part, classic Jesus. They gathered up 12 baskets of leftovers. Do you know what happens in the next chapter? Essentially the same thing, but with about 8,000 people. The last one was 10,000 people, and the disciples go, no, we don't have enough. It literally happened again. Why? Because we're human beings. I don't know. I just feel like some of you disqualified yourself, but Jesus never did. No, I don't think I'm ready to serve people, but give it a couple years, you know, Bible college, and then I'll be ready. Have you ever experienced pain? Have you ever experienced loss? Are you familiar with sin? Are you familiar with error and wrong? Yeah, Jesus could work a miracle through your life. God wants to do something here through this podcast, and our pain and our challenges are not what disqualifies us. In the story, Jesus tells his disciples to give me what you have, and they use the operative word only. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus says, give me what you have. Let me tell you something about Jesus, and a requirement of following Jesus is that you offer him what you have today. Not what you will have, not what you wish you had, but what you have right now. There is nowhere in scripture that says we have a grace for tomorrow, that we have a hope for tomorrow, that we have a future tomorrow. It does say that we have forgiveness for the past, but do you know what the Bible says about today? For those of you who follow Jesus, you have a grace for today. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 6, and it might be in verse 34, it says, pay attention to what God is doing right now. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Give yourself close attention to what God is doing right now. You watch Jesus through the narrative of the Gospels. He is a now God, which is extraordinary because he is outside the space-time continuum, yet he invades it, and he is a now God. Just live today as if today is all you have. Give God all you have. Take your only. What is your only? I only got 5 minutes. I only have one day. I only have $10. Take your only and offer it to God. Maybe you're like, I don't know Jesus. I'm young. I don't have a lot. Jesus is like, what do you got? A few loaves? Let me have it. See what I can do with it. That's what will happen in your life. You'll see. I only got 5 minutes. Give him 5 minutes and see what he can do with it. I feel like some of you here are surprised and think that Jesus is like, if you can't give me every day of the week, then don't give me anything at all. No, he'll take 1 minute. Don't misunderstand Jesus. He took the little that they did have and it was nothing. And he's like, watch this. This is what I do. I take the only that you do have and I'm going to work a miracle that's going to change you forever. And I just want to go on the record and say that I am not following Jesus because it is the right thing to do. I am following Jesus because it is the most profound satisfaction that I have ever experienced in this life. If there was a way that was better, a way with more purpose, meaning, and satisfaction elsewhere, I would sign up and do it. But I'm telling you that I have decided to follow Jesus, and from day one, I have had difficult days, dark days, bleak days, challenging days, but my soul has never found such peace and satisfaction and fulfillment other than following Jesus. So I dare you to give him what you do have and see what happens.